This is regional news coverage from the KBI newsroom. I'm Lucas Hudson. Today, Cole County residents will be re-voting on Proposition 1. If approved, the measure would extend the boundaries of Jefferson City area. As KBI's Megan Rentschler tells us, the city boundaries could increase by approximately 160 acres.
Although they are not technically in the city, some Meadow by the Club residents are crossing city limits even as they exit their neighborhoods. If approved, Proposition 1 could characterize these residents, two hotels, and one furniture store as living inside of city limits. The proposition was voted on in August and saw a split opinion. Cole County Clerk Marvin Register says that Jefferson City is holding this vote in order to see tax benefits, mainly coming from the Hampton Inn and Comfort Suites.
That's the reason I think that they're trying to do it more for the hotels to get them in so they can get the convention center tax.
Vivek Puri, Executive Vice President for the Puri Group of Enterprises, owns the two hotels that would see the impact. If approved, he says that the proposition would increase business expenses with no additional benefit from Jefferson City.
If my utilities goes up and my other biggest expense is employment, and I can't control anything else except those two factors, what do I have to do? I have to start laying off people to make sure that I can hit budget. I don't have the luxury of taking out bonds. I don't have the luxury of spending other people's money. I have the luxury of my own money, and I have a budget to meet.
Both residents from the Jefferson City area and the Cole County area will vote on the proposition this coming Tuesday. In order to determine the outcome, the proposition will need a two-thirds majority vote in either direction. Megan Rentschler, KBIA News.
Security experts say electronic voting machines, widely used in Missouri, are susceptible to tampering without proper security. Roger Johnston is head of the Vulnerability Assessment Team at Argonne National Laboratory. He says many experts have focused on cyber attacks, but his team looked at ways to tamper with the machines in person. He says the most important thing is the overall security for elections.
It's not just about programming of electronic voting machines. It's not even just about the physical and electronic security of these voting machines. It's about how election officials and poll judges really handle ballots and voting materials and how the machines are protected.
He says the machines, for instance, could be tampered with while in the warehouse or sitting in the church basement before the election. Randolph County Clerk Will Ellis says his office has taken a variety of steps to keep voting secure. He says the county's machines are not connected to the internet. They are delivered to the polling sites shortly before the election. They are also kept locked up and sealed. If the seals are broken, the machine is replaced. The county also hires technology consultants to monitor the machines all day during the elections. For people who just can't get enough of presidential politics, the Missouri State Museum is offering a special exhibit and program on the elections of 1844. The museum is located on the first floor of the state capitol in Jefferson City. The program begins tomorrow night at 7. The presentation is called 1844 Presidential Campaign, Prelude to Secession. Banners, flyers, political newspapers, and campaign songs will be showcased. That year's campaign ended with Democrat James K. Polk narrowly defeating the Whig Party candidate, Henry Clay. The MU Sinclair School of Nursing has received the largest grant in MU history. KBIA's Courtney Dahl tells us how the grant will be used to further research in nursing home care.
The $14.8 million grant from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services will be aimed at improving nursing home care. Through the aging-in-place concept, the school hopes to reduce avoidable hospitalizations and nursing home patients. MU Chancellor Brady Deaton says the research will further the understanding of the aging process.
Well, most importantly, this research is going to contribute to our knowledge of how to take care of ourselves. You know, as we're all in an aging process here, and this focuses on the care for aging population, which has been a hallmark of the Sinclair School.
The aging-in-place concept places advanced care nurses in nursing homes to help cut down on the number of residents rehospitalized for health issues. U.S. Representative Blaine Lutkemeyer says he saw the potential for the program and was an advocate for the school in the grant application process.
This is a way with this grant that we can find problems with it, look for solutions, come up with a new model that we can the folks who take care of people in nursing homes and long stays in hospitals can look at as a way to improve those lives, for especially the last few years or last few days of someone's life.
The program is already in place at an independent care center in Columbia. The school hopes to see the program spread nationwide in 4 years. Courtney Dahl, KBIA News.
Adair County residents will vote for a second district county commissioner today. KBI's Chris Lilly has more.
Larry Lee Smith is challenging the incumbent Mark Thompson in the election for Adair County's second district commissioner. Smith, who's a farmer, says he's decided to run for the position because he's concerned with road and bridge maintenance in Adair County.
I don't like to hear cutbacks on our road and bridge employees, you know, on an hourly basis and so on. I don't know what happened to their budget, how they failed to get something in, or I just want to scan that budget.
Smith served as Adair County Commissioner from 1978 to 1979. Incumbent Commissioner Mark Thompson says the position means being faced with more business decisions.
So, in Adair County, unfortunately, we have lots of needs, and we don't have very much money to take care of those needs. So we do the best we can with what little we have to do it with.
In addition to overseeing the county's roads and bridges, the commission approves its annual budget and establishes policy. Chris Lilly, KBIA News.
The trash talk is finally over, at least for now. The Columbia City Council voted against the heavily debated roll cart trash pilot program last night. Third Ward Council member Gary Kespool says the pilot program failed to show financial benefit and improved customer service.
A lot of our customers don't want it. That's the problem we have.
When you look at this, satisfied. There has to be more justification to me to go to this system, a bigger dollar savings, and I can't see where it's at. Either that or the public has to be overwhelmingly in favor of it. Then I'd be in favor.
The idea to change from bags to roll carts had hopes to improve safety for workers and eventually save money, but the idea sparked controversy after the city announced it in May. Mayor Bob McDavid says the city is not ready to implement the program.
A lot of our customers don't want it. That's the problem we have right now. They're satisfied with the current system. They're satisfied with the charges they're paying. And they, at least right now, are telling us, all of us, that they don't want it to change.
The council voted unanimously against the pilot, but hopes to continue discussion to improve technology for waste management. Meanwhile, candidates can start filing today for Columbia City Council's 5th Ward seat. That's because council members approved a special election to replace Helen Anthony, who's resigning at the end of the month. Columbia resident Don Stamper says he thinks the election will be costly and unnecessary. But Anthony says she thinks the special election is important because she wants someone to fill her seat quickly to represent the 5th Ward. Council members set the election date for February 5th of 2013. Things just got a little easier for those on a strict food diet in Jefferson City. KBIA's Carlene Swan tells us how Capital City restaurants are helping people with diabetes.
The Capital Region Medical Center kicks off a new program to help their diabetic patients. The program works with area restaurants to provide a diabetic detailed menu to customers. Capital Region Medical Center dietitian Sarah Burby is heading the program.
You know, we ask them to follow a certain carbohydrate meal plan, so they get a budget of carbohydrates. Well, that becomes difficult whenever they don't eat at home and they're eating in a restaurant. And there are some restaurants, like the chain restaurants, that supply nutrition information, and it's really easy for them to look it up.
Burby says it is more difficult to get this information when dining at locally owned restaurants. These menus will be available to customers who ask for them beginning November 10th. The participating restaurants include Cafe Via Roma, Angelina's Cafe, Grand Cafe, Johnny's Pizza, Rita's Restaurant, Butch's Barbecue, Boulevard Cafe, Vitality Cafe, Patty Malone's, and Domenico's. Vitality Cafe owner Olivia Hudek Foss says she is glad to offer another healthy option to her vegan cafe.
I just figured it would be an excellent way to just expand information available to people with dietary needs, so in this case, diabetes.
Burby says she is glad this program can help her patients stay on track while eating out. She also says she hopes more restaurants step forward and ask to participate in this program. Carlene Swan, KBIA News.
A Southeast Missouri teenager has been sentenced to 5 years of probation for a hate crime assault. The Southeast Missourian reports that the sentence was handed down yesterday for 17-year-old Mercedes Ayers of Cape Girardeau. She pleaded guilty last month. In exchange, Cape Girardeau County prosecutors dropped a charge of first-degree burglary. In her guilty plea, Ayers admitted beating a neighbor, Gina Terry, back in July. She said the beating was motivated in part by Terry's sexual orientation. Terry is a lesbian. For KBIA News, I'm Lucas Hudson.